thing and not the wrong. So listen up, y'all, to what we say. We won't be banned in the USA.
Thank you for joining me on this special edition of the Box to Row podcast. I'm Donald Ware. There is no HBCU football daily podcast on today. Had planned to take the day off. Happy 4th of July. Had planned to take the entire day off, but I think I can spend a couple of moments with some news and talk about something that has happened in the world of HBCU sports, and that is five-star basketball player Makur Maker has committed to Howard University. He's committed to Howard University. A five-star player committing to Howard University to an HBCU is something that doesn't happen every day. And he's committing to a program that in the last couple of years has lost big-time players. Part of the program, you look at James McDaniel, a couple of years ago, decided to transfer to Tennessee, a prolific scorer in the MEAC. You look at RJ Cole, decided last year to commit to UConn. And then I can even take you back to the latter part of the 90s. Xavier Singletary played at Dunbar right there in Washington, D.C. Played, I think, at least two years at Howard under Mike McLeese. Mike McLeese is out. Ultimately, Xavier Singletary transfers to Boston College and has a nice career at Boston College. So you can imagine having gone through that with this Howard program. Kenny Blakeney, now the head men's basketball coach, and Howard struggled mightily last year. I mean, mightily. But you it was Blakeney's first year as the head coach, and to be able to get a commit, okay, like a Makur Maker, I mean, it is huge. You know, a couple of weeks ago on From the Press Box to Press Row, I mentioned the formation of a super conference with respect to HBCUs, and I thought that if you could get a couple of these type of players, I mean, even Mickey Williams, who's a high profile basketball player as well, has talked about HBCUs and the possibility of going to HBCUs. As a matter of fact, I believe on his Twitter account, his quote was, "Why not an HBCU?" And so this, you know, on the surface anyway, Maker's commitment to Howard looks huge for HBCUs. As I mentioned, the super conference thing, my thing was with that, if you can get a couple of these type of guys, and it's more so about basketball. We, you know, football, you don't see a lot of 4-5-star guys, but you have a lot of 3-star guys. But if you look in the National Football League, you have guys that didn't even have stars by their names that are playing in the National Football League, have played in the National Football League. You have 33 or so former HBCU players that are now in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So we know football side, you can be 5-star, 4-star, that's fine, and it's a different classification anyway, because you're talking about FBS and FCS as opposed to basketball being all Division I. Also, with respect to HBCUs, a lot of our schools at the Division I level are going to play the quote-unquote money game. So it's really an opportunity for guys like Maker, for guys like Williams, because these guys are going to play, they're going to be gone anyway. They're going to play 1 year in college, and they're ultimately going to leave. They're going to have a heavy conference schedule, which is going to consist of its respective HBCU, more specifically SWAC, MEAC, and then even if you look outside of that, you look at Tennessee State in the OVC. Tennessee State is going to play an OVC schedule. That's a mid-major conference, but they're going to play some high major programs, Hampton out of the Big South as well. Same thing. It's you know, when you come to an HBCU, you should. I mean, if you're going to be a one and done player, you're going to get that exposure anyway. So my thing is, you get some of these guys to commit to the HBCUs. That I think generates a lot of interest. It generates a lot of buzz. And I think even before that happens, I think, you know, we really need to talk about building or starting a super conference football-wise at the FBS level, because again, in basketball, it is all Division I. But I would caution you on this. Remember, Maker made a commitment. He's committed to Howard. That's the key word. He didn't sign. There's a difference between committing to a university and there's a difference between signing to a university. At this point, he is committed. He says, I'm committed to Howard. Shunned all the other schools, UCLA, all the other schools, and has made a commitment to Howard. I will also remind you that it was reported back in late April that he has declared for the NBA draft. He's declared for the NBA draft. So you got to figure if he was a first round pick, which I don't know if he's, you know, I'm not sure if he would be a first round pick. I mean, I think, you know, he's from everything I've read, an exceptional player, and all of those got good size. A lot of the intangibles you can't really teach. So if he's a first round player and the NBA draft is in October, I think it's on October the 16th, but the NBA draft is in October, and the NBA made an exception for him to be eligible for the NBA draft. Well, he gets drafted in the first round, then ultimately he's going to play in the NBA, and right now it's good publicity for Howard. It's good publicity for HBCUs, and ultimately if he's drafted and plays in the NBA, then it would have been good publicity for Howard and for HBCUs ultimately. Now, let's say he doesn't get drafted in the first round. Does he keep the commitment and actually sign on the dotted line with the Bison? That's what I'm looking for. I think it's great. I'm not knocking it. I think it's a really good thing. But we need more of these type of players to not only commit to our universities, but also sign on the dotted line. We've seen we've seen this many times. It is not just an HBCU thing. We've seen many times when high school athletes commit to various programs. They make the commitment. And it used to be once upon a time, the commitment was more binding. When you committed to a program, it was a little bit more, you know, even though you didn't sign on the dotted line, there was a time that you made a commitment. You generally stuck with that commitment, because if you didn't stick with that commitment, I can't remember if there was any repercussions behind not going forward with the commitment. I couldn't imagine there were a whole lot, because until you actually signed something, that's just in real life and outside of college athletics, it's not binding. So, again, I want to see, let's see the signature, and we need more players to sign on the dotted line. Many players have decided, I'm going to commit to a university. I'm going to commit to said university. I'm going to commit to this university. But then ultimately, something happened. Coach gets let go. Something happens with the university. Kid changes his mind. People get in his head, whatever the case may be. And he ultimately ends up at another university. We gotta make sure that this is great, but we want these kids to sign. You know, one of the things that I saw with the Mickey Williams deal, when he made the statement, why, you know, in essence, why not an HBCU? What I was surprised to see, quite frankly, was that a lot of HBCUs decided to either make calls to his coach or offer him, I believe, North Carolina, Central Tennessee State, and there may have been some others, that offered him a scholarship without having seen him play, which is fine. I mean, I think when you look at, you know, you look at some of the highlights and all that, I mean, the kid completes, no question about it, you know. But my thing is, why aren't our coaches already recruiting the Mickey Williamses of the world, the Mercure Makers of the world? Why is it that those kids have to say, I want to attend an HBCU. You know, I'm interested in HBCU, especially in the times we are now. HBCU is a hot thing, right? It's a hot thing. It's something we've been talking about. I mean, this very topic is something that I've been talking about even going over 20 years, even going back to my days as a student at Morgan State in the mid to late 90s. Been talking about this, writing about this for so many years. Of course, a lot of other people have been talking and writing about this before me as well, because we've, you know, when in the 60s, when schools in the SEC and, you know, ACC and so forth decided to recruit black players, and that black players in their minds could have the privilege of playing in said conference, even though our, you know, many great players have come through our schools, but whatever, in all sports, basketball, football, but whatever, whenever they decided, hey, now it's time to recruit, you know, black players, we started to see a shift away from our schools. So the top black athletes that were going to our schools before SEC, ACC, others decided, you know, I can't really say the Big Ten, but it seemed, you know, black players have been playing in the Big Ten for many, many years, but I'm talking specifically about the two big conferences in the South. Yes, the SEC and the ACC decided it's time for black players to come into our conference. We started losing the best black leagues that were coming to our schools. And so this has been going on since, in essence, the late 60s up and now, and it's really progressed every year. And somewhere along the way, we forgot that we couldn't go to Carolina, or we couldn't go to South Carolina, or we couldn't go to Kentucky. We're talking about changing this battle, this flag in Mississippi, which to me, I mean, whatever. Let's talk about the almost 600 brothers and sisters that have been lynched in the state of Mississippi. Those that have had land taken away from them in the state of Mississippi. Let's have that conversation. So you can talk about a flag all you want, but remember when we couldn't go to Mississippi. Remember when we couldn't go to Mississippi State and Alabama and all of these schools. So somewhere along the way, we forgot that we couldn't go to those schools. And now, you know, all of a sudden we're flocking to those schools. Well, you know what? It's time to bring it back to our schools. I think our coaches need to it's not a waste of time. I mean, you don't have to. I mean, if you've never, and I don't know, you know, I don't know all the ins and outs. You know, I'm just talking, but this is my opinion. If you know that a guy is a top, you know, whatever player, right? Offer him, inquire about him. You don't know if he'll commit to that school or not. I mean, you have no idea if he's going to commit to that school if you don't recruit him. You know, I think Mo Williams at Alabama State. And there's other coaches that are doing a great job in terms of just saying that, hey, our schools, we can get whatever players. And I think Mo Williams has done a really good job in his. I mean, he signed a bunch of guys. You know, he's been on the job with a couple of months now at Alabama State. But you know, he was no stranger to the SWAC. You know, having grown up in, you know, either in Jackson or the Jackson, Mississippi area. He's no stranger to the SWAC. So when it was his opportunity to coach, he's like, come on and play at HBCUs. He's been one of the more vocal coaches that I've seen lately. I'm not saying other coaches haven't. I'm just saying lately, he's been one of the more vocal coaches that I've seen that saying, come to, and he's not just saying Alabama State. He's saying, come to HBCUs. So we need to be out here recruiting these guys. You know, I don't know that we are. I mean, And I'm not saying that we aren't necessarily, I'm not necessarily saying that we aren't. All I'm saying is that were we recruiting Mickey Williams before he said, I would attend an HBCU? Were we recruiting him before that? And if not, then that's part of the issue as well. You know, hopefully this will become a trend Not a trend, I'm sorry. Hopefully this is become something that happens on a regular basis. You know, I'd be happy to, you know, R.J. Cole was a three-star recruit coming out of New Jersey. St. Anthony's out of St. Anthony's had a big-time program. So not only was he a three-star kid, he's coming out of a big-time program with a big-time coach to Howard. Not only made the commitment, signed, and let's remember, not only did he signed his junior year. He still had another year before he actually was going to come to Howard. He didn't say, I commit. He signed a full year in advance. This is one of the things that we need to see. Need to see these players signing on the dotted line. Need to see, you know, our schools, you know, really going after these types of players. It shouldn't be any reason, particularly in the climate now. And we got to, you know, again, to me, it's about history, man. We got to remember what we've gone through. We get into, you know, the now. What's cool now? What's happening now? But we got to remember, we weren't allowed to go to the schools that I mentioned and many, many other schools, which is why we went to, which is unfortunately why we should have been going to HBCUs anyway. And I'm not saying, you know, maybe HBCUs aren't a fit for everybody. Yes, I get it. Facilities aren't like what you'll find at a bigger school. Exposure's not what you'll find at a bigger school. But if enough of these players make not just the commitment, but sign with these schools, then you will see that the exposure will be better. The media coverage, you know, will be better. I mean, we do what we do here at Box to Row and have been doing it for almost 15 years. And like I said, even my passion goes back even further for HBCU sports goes back further than that. So we like what, you know, we feel good about what we're doing and like what we're doing. We're all about HBCUs. So if that means more exposure for HBCUs, because these particular student athletes that are 4-5 star kids, 3-star kids, it doesn't always mean just because you have the star by you doesn't always mean you're a great. You know, generally it means you are a pretty good player, but because you don't have the star by you doesn't necessarily mean you're not a good player either. But the stars help. You know, we've been doing the recruiting thing with football for, I don't know, you know, in excess of, I don't know, however long, 14 years, 13 years, whatever. The stars mean something. They definitely mean something. So I hope that ultimately Mr. Maker will sign at Howard. Again, there's some variances here. One of them, and one of the bigger ones, being the NBA in the NBA draft. But again, let's get out here. Let's start recruiting coaches. Let's get out here and start recruiting these type of players. If you don't recruit them, they're not going to come. They don't know, and a lot of them don't know, and a lot of their parents, a lot of them, most of them and a lot of their parents, I'm not saying all, but most of them and a lot of their parents don't even know the history of our schools. And if you're not recruiting them and letting them know the history of our schools, then they're not going to know and will not come to our schools. So, you know, that's just my little thing for today on this 4th of July. Again, with no HBCU Football Daily Podcast, I felt compelled to really give my thoughts on Makure Maker and his commitment to Howard. Of course, you can hit me up anytime and give me your thoughts on Twitter at Box to Row, BoxToRow. My personal Twitter account is at DWare1. Also on Facebook, BOX2ROW. Don't forget, From the Press Box to Press Row, airing on a radio station near you this weekend. You can click the link right on our website where it says Box to Row Radio. Click that link, go to the affiliate, find a radio station in your area that carries the program. Continue to stay safe and have a great 4th of July weekend.
Yo, take a second. What if we could rewind the hood? Better yet, what if the locks would have signed with Suge? What if Puffy never signed us? What if Oprah made them comments like I must? What if you designed this, thought like I did, said it like this? What if Peyton was fighting dogs instead of Mike Vick? What if Arnold would have just let Tookie get life? What if Big missed the party? What if Pac missed the fight? What if you was caged in? What would you change then? What if there was no Rockefeller law for made men? What if hate ran through me? And what if Portland would have drafted Jordan instead of Sam Bowie? What if you really had to be nice to get a deal? What if all of these rappers, Ice was really real? What if I hit you with the razor from cheek to chin? What if Mike Jackson never would have bleached his skin? What if you never knew things that you needed to know? What if you never been places you needed to go? What if you get there and learn them as you go? What if is the question, can I ask them once more? What if you never knew things that you needed to know? What if you never been places you needed to go? What if you get there and learn them as you go? What if is the question, can I ask them once more? What if the pain went away? What if you changed in a day? What if you could eliminate all the games people play? What if Shine beat the case? What if Diddy did a dime flat? What if Nelson Mandela could give his time back? What if Malcolm was silent? What if Martin was violent? What if you could really sneak a Uzi on an island? Yeah, what if I make you kiss the Nina? What if a brick was only just a misdemeanor? What if Manhattan was hit by Hurricane Katrina? What if a black man was the one controlling FEMA? What if we ain't never let emotions come between us? What if the last time we rode, somebody seen us? What if new things that you needed to know? What if you never been places you needed to go? What if you get there and learn them as you go? What if is the question, can I ask them once more? What if you never knew things that you needed to know? What if you never been places you needed to go? What if you get there and learn them as you go? What if is the question, can I ask them once more?
Yo, I flow calm but don't push. What if Saddam hung Bush? What if one mic was called One Hook? What if the bridge never showed me how to hold a weapon? What if I ran up in that sick chick with no protection? What if I never wore that army jacket? Carhartt to match it, unlaced Timbs, the hood on my first album cover under plastic. What if I was another corny rapper? What if I went instead of Notorious? Who would tell my story after? What if I loved less and lust more? If Obama was on Rushmore, would Ali give Tyson a bus draw? What if I never glared out that project window? Would never been scared for the life of me and my kinfolk? What if that gun pin broke? I would have never leaned back in the end zone all red. What if real niggas was all dead? What if Hillary and them was reptilian? And 2012 was the end of men and all world civilians.
What if you never knew things that you needed to know? What if you never been places you needed to go? What if you get there and learn them as you go? What if is the question, can I ask them once more? What if you never knew things that you needed to know? What if you never been places you needed to go? What if you get there and learn them as you go? What if is the question, can I